off the field, and then lifted above the trees beyond, climbing in the wind like a bird of prey circling for a meal. Smith craned his neck and squinted at the sunlight as he watched the thing rise into the air, and the men around him all began applauding with gusto. He had to admit, when he saw it take off, that there was something impressive about it. A machine that could lift a man into the air like a bird could capture a lot of imaginations. It certainly had lit up the minds of the men around here. But Smith still preferred being close to the ground. Seeing things up close, being able to hear and see and smell everything around him. That was what he'd learned to do in his time drifting on the New World. Going up into the sky just wasn't natural for a man. At least if he fell off his horse, he'd land on the ground. If he fell out of a plane, the ground would still catch him, but there wouldn't be much of him left. Such was the risk these flyers took. They probably had to be a bit mad to do it. Smith knew the type of man that could be. The adventurer, who might go out and try to wrestle a savage with his bare hands just to say he did. That was their right. Smith wouldn't tell them otherwise. He just didn't aim to join them. That said, he could understand there were benefits to having flying machines out on the grasslands. From that high up, men could see for a long way. Lots of early warning about hordes coming, or hiding in places not easily seen from down low. Other people had tried the same idea before, but this was the first time army planes had come. Maybe they'd fare better than the planes amateurs had brought before. None of those had been seen again after they flew out over the grasslands. For a minute, Smith wondered about that. Everybody assumed those planes had crashed or landed out in the grasslands and had their flyers eaten by savages. But maybe the blue men of the New World had done something about them. If the British Army had flying aeroplanes, then the Martians, with all their machines, must have some too. Maybe there were more than just the obvious dangers for these Royal Flying Corps men to deal with. Time would tell. For now, Smith had seen enough. He was supposed to be trying on his new suit today. He'd gotten one at Caroline's insistence, because a body couldn't turn up at a wedding looking like he'd just ridden in from the trail. Devlin had said he didn't mind, but Caroline was particular about some things. And Smith reckoned some of those things she was particular about were things he could stand to learn. The machine overhead circled higher, its buzz fading away as it did. Once the field was clear, Captain Carstairs and the other pilot were mobbed by interested officers. By the look of it, the men from the Flying Corps enjoyed the treatment. Smith didn't hold that against them. They were entitled to be proud of what they did. But the drifter didn't join the mob. Instead, he patted his mare on the neck.
"We keep our feet on solid ground."
She flipped her ear at him, approving of the thought, and then Smith gently turned her back towards the city, a few minutes' ride from the airfield. A wedding awaited, and then whatever mission the Royal Newfoundland Regiment was sent on next. Because while Smith still considered himself a drifter, he was sticking with the Bys for the time being. They had a good outfit, and as the months went on, he got more accustomed to them. He left the gravity-defying machines behind, and went to try on his suit. Chapter 1. After two run-ins with the Blue Men, the Bys of the Royal Newfoundland Regiment had become celebrities around New World City. That had led to some problems with free drinks on pub nights and some fights that had been swiftly broken up, but by and large, it was a useful status. Because while thousands of other Imperial soldiers were passing through New World City on their way to various points across Selkirk Mandate, the Bys stood out. That made it pretty simple for Major Tom Waller to secure Trudy's dance hall for the wedding reception. Waller was no dancer himself, and to be entirely honest, most of the Bys should have known better than to try. But drink reduced their common sense, and as the post-wedding reception got into its third hour, there were fiddles going and Bys doing their damnedest to keep up. Sitting at the head table, along with Emily, Tucker, Kiersey, Smith and Caroline, and of course Jimmy and Danny, Waller watched them go with a grin. It had been a good day all round, and it was very good that the Bys got to share in it. Jimmy Devlin was beaming, as was young Annie Devlin, who seemed beside herself that such a grand party was being conducted in her honour. Emily had the seat immediately next to the young former maid, and the savage-born lady smiled as she saw Annie blushing again.
"Do you want to go and have a dance with Jimmy?"
Annie giggled and then shook her head.
"I'm terrible as a dancer, my lady."
Because it was her wedding day, Emily forgave the "my lady" and simply patted Annie on the hand.